do you play the game? Do you basically just become an algorithm to try to get views and like exploit like, oh, well, negative things get more views. So you're just going to put negativity into the world because you want more views. You know, it's like, so what I've
tried to
always
do. That's an easy thing
to do. Yeah.
Now it's mainly just about having a product, right? That you can sell to people, like having something to sell to people so that you can take that back seat. That seems to be the strategy that I've seen does work for some creators.
Were you always like in the transition skating, or was that like, you know, something you adapted later?
Yeah, I was always into transition skating. I'm trying to do it the reverse. Like when I get real old, I want to be the rail skater. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Welcome back to the Keep Pushing podcast. Today I'm joined by content creator and skateboarder Zach Dowdy. What's going on, Zach?
What's up, Chad? Thanks for having me. It's an honor.
Oh, yeah, I'm psyched you came on, man. So I came across your channel first, like, I think it was like 3 years ago or so, with a DIY kind of quarter pipe video, how to build one.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, it just fascinated me because it's something I always wish I was able to do. So like, was that something you just like did concrete like your whole life, or you just kind of got into that later?
Oh no, it was definitely sparked from the necessity of wanting to build skate obstacles. I have no experience with concrete, honestly. So the spark started, my dad took me down to Washington Street, which is like a DIY skate park here in San Diego. It's pretty similar to like Burnside situation. And yeah, I think just seeing that happen like early on was like really exciting to me. And they didn't let me skate. They're like, no, you can move rocks and stuff. So I don't know. I think like for me, it's always been like this cool, like deeper side of skateboarding. And I've just always been a DIY type of person. We can get into that. But yeah, it was more so like I wanted to build some skate obstacles. And then the reason for trying to create content on YouTube about the DIY stuff is just because I felt like that wasn't something that was available. Like I always wanted to know how to build skate obstacles, but I didn't know how. And I had no interest in like building a concrete slab or a sidewalk. Like I just wanted to do the transition. So,
yeah. That's funny. I had the same approach about YouTube. I was like looking at the trick tips and I was like, I just felt like there was a hole there that I wanted to fill. Like the information just like needed to be there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So when did you start YouTube? Like officially, when was that?
Man, like as me, as Zach Dowdy, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're
like
asking.
When you really took it like seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, this is me, my channel, and being vulnerable and all that. Like, here I am. I think it was like right before COVID. So, yeah, right before COVID hit is kind of, it was like, I mean, to be honest, it was really good timing. I got really lucky, to be honest, I think, because I got on there when like everyone was stuck at home and like a couple months before that. So, yeah, it was like right before COVID I started. And I think like I got lucky in the sense that like people were at home wanting content, wanted to be entertained. So yeah, I think it was a good timing.
Yeah, 100%. That's the first thing that popped in my mind when you said that. I was like, oh, he started when like literally everyone started skateboarding, it felt like, because everyone was just stuck at home and they were like trying to pick up boards or look for projects to do, you know. I think even like Home Depot was like running out of wood, like they were jacking up the prices of wood because everyone's doing projects and stuff.
And that's where you're honing in on it, right? So it was like the combination of DIY, like doing it yourself, because like that was the big thing, is like you couldn't, you know, be around other people or whatever. So to me, it was like a cool way to like still communicate with other people too. Like there's a way to build a communication there, because obviously everyone felt pretty alone. And to the point of like doing home project, it was like, well, what else do we have to do? We might as well learn some new trades.
Yeah. So was it tough for you to like get started? Was it like a weird kind of uncomfortable thing, or was it something, I don't know, you were like excited about, felt natural? Like how was that getting into it?
I kind of approached it similar to skateboarding. You know, I knew like I was going to mess up a lot, and I knew that like it was going to be pretty nothing to brag about or like make videos about at first, but it was like trial and error. My friend Truman Hooker, he is a really good skater. He used to bring me on the sessions. I used to film him like when I was just doing like the more skate industry core filming stuff. And he actually really motivated me because he was building spots and like just doing things and like getting photos and getting content and like the Skateboard Mag and Thrasher that nobody else was doing because he was going out of the way, like recon, like really digging deep into like how he can make spots. So I think I did have that exposure to him. I had the Washington Street exposure. So I had exposure to it and I kind of knew. I didn't have that firsthand experience, but I also knew like the people that were doing it started from somewhere. A lot of times they didn't have like someone telling them what to do. They just tried it, messed up, tried again, learned from their mistakes. It's, you know, it's just that like constant wheel of a feedback loop basically. So yeah, I think it was partially just start low barrier, right? Start with a rub brick and I started using lacquer and then I was like, all right, how do I fix the crack? So it's just like you start low and then you start to like get more interest and then naturally you fail than succeed.
So when you started your channel, did it feel weird going? Because you said you were kind of like in the core kind of side of things. So did it feel weird for you making YouTube videos or did you not even think about it?
Oh, it felt super weird. Yeah. I mean, there's a huge, I mean, that's a huge topic of conversation, right? But it was really weird for me. I come from very like traditional skateboarding. I worked for the Skateboard Mag. Dave Swift was my boss at one time. And like, I did my own zine actually. So when I was 17, I did Tibble Culture. It was like a small skate zine. And the reason was because I thought like the media at the time didn't really highlight underground skaters very well. Even like Elijah Barrel, I think we did his first interview. So like we definitely approached it kind of at that level. Then eventually, I kind of got to the point where I'll be honest, I sort of resented the skateboard industry. I was like, oh, I've tried so hard to like make it and this and that, whatever, like typical story for anybody that tries to do it. And at some point I was just like, you know what, I'm going to try the YouTube thing. And it was a combination of you, the Nine Club, I think like it was like you, the Nine Club, and then maybe like Ben DeGrosse or somebody else where I was like, all right, these guys are a little bit older. Like they clearly like removing the shame aspect and just being vulnerable. And like, I was like, all right, that's like sick. Like to me, it was like, that was, I don't want to use the word punk rock, but I think it solidifies with people. It's like, they didn't care. You guys or the people I was watching didn't care what the skate industry thought. And I was like, dang, like that's so liberating. I want to be a part of that. So the transition was long for sure.
Yeah, it's so funny you say that because I've actually thought that same kind of thing where, you know, like sometimes YouTube skaters get like kind of shamed. And I'm thinking in my head, like the essence of what skateboarding is almost like doing the thing you're like shamed for. You know what I mean? So being a YouTuber, you're almost like embracing what skateboarding really is. You know what I mean? It's almost like flipped upside down or something.
Now that you say that, it kind of reminds me of like skateboarding in the 90s or something, or like when it wasn't cool, right? When the people went to school and like girls didn't think it was cool like they do now. And like, I think YouTubers kind of fall in that category. And I think it's kind of rad in a way. I mean, maybe that's egotistical, but you know, I think it's kind of cool because they're just like, hey, we don't need to fit into any molds or any boxes. They just, you're doing what you want to do. And I don't think there's a right and wrong. It's just your subjective opinion on a lot of skateboarding stuff.
Right. Yeah. It's like, it's weird because there is something to it. Like when someone's just clearly going out there for attention, you know what I mean? Or something like there is a weird line to walk. It's not like, you know, like there is some element of having like tastefulness, you know, but where do you draw that line? It's like every line is different for every person. You know what I mean?
I think that took me like maybe 2 years to figure out like where that line was and like how to kind of balance that, like being authentic, but also like providing this character or whatever, right? Because in the beginning, I wasn't sure like if I even wanted to be like a skateboard character, you know, because that's a real thing. And I think sometimes that's pretty smart. Like people can like disengage. Over time, I realized it was really hard for me. So I just kind of like found my way of a voice, I guess, in a way, and like feeling comfortable with it. I think for me personally, it was just about like really understanding what I was trying to say and like really believing in it. Cause then I was like, you know, if I get hate or negative comments, at least I have like I have my own, you know, you hear what I'm saying? I don't even know what I'm trying to articulate, but like,
no, I have completely formulated opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically for me, when I started, it was like an evolution. In the beginning, I didn't really know what the hell was going on. And then after a couple of years, I started to learn how to like actually have my own opinion or form it and think about it. And like, you know, but then also coming with that is a little more responsibility too, you know?
Yeah. And I think there's definitely like nuances, right? Like, cause you want to take feedback. For example, like You know, clickbait could be an example. You know, sometimes I've clickbaited videos because I thought like, well, that's how I get the exposure. And then as long as I provide good content, that's the most important part, right? So that's even a whole balancing act and all that stuff, because you don't want to like, you know, I want to come off like providing value at the end of the day. I don't want to just be like, here I am, check me out, you know? And I think that's pretty easy to fall into. I think I have fallen into that. And then at times I kind of have to like stop and be like, hold on a second. Like, what's the ultimate goal here?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, as someone that makes content, that line is different for everyone. If you've never made YouTube videos, you could see something and just instantly classify it as clickbait. When we've been doing it for years, we just don't think of it as like, oh, there's just like a decent way to get people in the door. It's just a normal, you know, it's like from the video, it's a screenshot, like, you know what I mean? But they think it's like exploiting because you're making it look exciting. But again, it's like, no one's going to watch your video if you don't make it like somewhat interesting. Like, you almost, you know, it's a weird thing to have to feel guilty for. But of course, there's levels to where you don't deliver, you know, that's where it gets.
Yeah. Done. Yeah, I agree. Like, you can't be like, what do you call, like short-sighting people or manipulating people and being fake? Like, that's lame. I kind of think about it like before YouTube though, right? Like, journalists had to do the same thing. Think of headlines, right? Like in newspapers, that's exactly what we're doing. We're creating like a headline so people read the dialogue, right? But like, if the headline's like, check me out, I skated for 8 hours and I landed 2 tricks, like, you should watch this video. Yeah. Why would anybody care? You know, no offense. Yeah. Like, but I think you have to provide some value and then deliver, to your point. If you don't deliver, then yeah, I think I've witnessed and other people will witness that eventually people know that and they don't want to be tricked. So you do have to deliver, but I find it a hard balance, you know, because sometimes you're like, it's the constant conversation on YouTube, right? The title and thumbnail mean everything. And it's like, that's how you get your content exposed, you know? And if you want to make good stuff, unfortunately, you have to play the game.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing about title and thumbnails, I know people that do YouTube for a long time and they still don't know this, but it's like, when you're scrolling, that's the only thing that matters. I could pour my heart out and do the craziest, most like incredible thing in the video, but if you don't get past that little motion of clicking the, like looking at the image and clicking it, it was all almost for nothing. Like, not for nothing, but you get what I mean. Like, no one can come in the door and ever know about it because you feel weird about like adding your face onto it or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, like, making a crazy expression. So it's like, yeah, it's definitely a tough line to walk.
I think sometimes there's some shame involved in it, but at the same time, it's like, if I think there's an overarching message, right? So you could take a little of that shame with the thumbnail, title, whatever, but as long as there's like a good, positive, something good that comes out of it. But to your point, yeah, I mean, sometimes people will make a video that they spent 2 years on, you know, and they title it something and it's like, it's such a risk, you know what I mean? So yeah, there's a whole psychology, I'm sure, to that as well. You know, this negativity provokes more emotions and all that stuff. But I think it's a balancing act.
Which is another topic too, because you're like, do you play the game? Do you basically just become an algorithm to try to get views and like exploit, like, oh, well, negative things get more views, so you're just gonna put negativity into the world because you want more views? You know, it's like, so what I've
that's
tried
an
to
easy
always
thing
do
to
is,
do
yeah so I tried to always like just yeah like as long as I my video is about something I truly believe in and I didn't create it, it's almost like I have like protection, like no matter what anyone says about the thought, you know, I'm just like, no, I did it for the right reason, you know. I don't know, I can't please everyone.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at. Yeah, yeah. And I do think there's a side to this that maybe we should mention is like taking the feedback and working with it too, right? I've done that too. Like, we're subscribers or anybody random, they come on and they like, well, say something really aggressive. My initial reaction, of course, is just like, dang, like this person, really? But then I try to sit back and really think like the comment box isn't a positive comment box. It's just people are to say whatever they want. It could be negative or positive. So I think it is important to take some of that feedback as well and work with it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a common thing to just like, I've heard people start now or even people that have been doing it for a long time, just kind of discredit every single comment they're all, you know what I mean? It doesn't count. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? That's bullshit. Well, I mean, even this podcast, I got a comment about the feeble-minded name that I had. I switched it to Keep Pushing because someone commented it. And I was like, I never really thought about that. Like, it is, it has like a negative vibe that like a non-skater wouldn't even think about, you know, feeble-minded. You know what I mean? But a skater's just...
Old
name of the podcast.
I know it was feeble-minded, but I thought it was just because like feeble grinds and like you're on one side and you're on the other. I was actually trying to think about like the meaning of feeble grind podcast just before you even tell me. And I thought it was like this way of like an intersection of skateboarding. That's kind of how I thought it, because you're leaning on both sides with the feeble grind.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a bunch of different ways to look at it. But like if you don't skate, you don't even really know what the word feeble means besides like kind of almost like it means like you're kind of dumb, you know? Feeble-minded, you're kind of clueless. So that's kind of, you know what I mean? So I thought it was a funny name, you know, whatever. I'm self-deprecating, like whatever.
Well, but also in this like small niche, like we sometimes forget, you know?
Exactly. So I saw the comment, and at first I was like, what the, you know? And then I thought about it. I was like, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense, you know? So as tough as it can be sometimes, like there is truth in comments, you know?
I like Keep Pushing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think and it's like you're such a, you seem like a pretty diverse person, has a lot of different friends all over the place. So it's like it could be more than skating. Like Keep Pushing could be keep pushing on whatever it is that you're trying to achieve in life, you know? So I think it's a good name.
Yeah, it opened the box a little bit, you know, gave me some more freedom. Yeah. But so before you hopped on, I was watching your video part you came out with a few months ago. Or was it like 6 months ago? Yeah. So I filmed one too. You turned 36. How was it filming at 36, like a full video part?
So fun. Like, I think honestly, like filming a video part at 36 is more fun than any age of my life. Because they're like, I don't know, like you get to a point, I don't know if you feel this way, but you get a point where there's like, there's no shame and I'm just going to do what I do. And like, it's so cool to preserve this point of time in skateboarding for me. Because I think I'm at this point where I'm going to get older. Things are going to start getting more and more difficult. So I feel like it was a really, I don't know, like a special time in my skateboarding. So I was just happy to have the opportunity to skate, happy to have the time to skate, and have a friend came out and film me. Like, that was so cool. And I don't know. Overall, it was like, you know, just trying to, it's also for myself so that I can look back in 10 years. I think that's part of it. That's like the biggest thing, because I go and skate. A lot of times I don't film, you know, the majority of time it's not filming. And then it's just cool to have that, you know. And yeah, video parts to me are still like really important.
Yeah, it's different when you film one at like 22 versus 36. Like your mindset's just in a completely different place and you appreciate it more and you almost think about it more sophisticated. Like you could think out how you want to film it and like craft it, whereas opposed to when you're younger, you're not, sometimes you're just skating and like getting clips. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100. Like you're just like, I got to get a trick here. I got to get a trick there. I think that's a part of it too. Like you said it well, like sophisticated skating, kind of like you pick and choose your battles. I don't feel obligated to compete or like be next to anybody else. Skateboarding is pretty competitive, right? At the end of the day, like that's how we get good. I think, at least for me, like having a peer group and people to like keep up with. But yeah, at some point you're just like, I'm trying to prevail my own skating. So like I was my biggest competition, you know, I think that's like a fun place to be in.
Yeah. 100%. So was it the hardest part for me filming at 36 was like getting people to come out and skate? Like, cause now like everyone's so busy, they got jobs. It's like to get a filmer to come out and like go on a mission. It's like, it's pretty tough when you're a kid, everyone's around, you know?
I was the filmer for sure. Like when I was a kid, I was normally the filmer.
Oh really?
Yeah, always, like for the longest time. And I think, like going back to why starting YouTube, I think that was part of it too. I was like, I want to document some of my skating, as selfish and like egotistical as that might seem. Was just like, I had none of that. You know, I was always filming other people and I love that too. But I think that was part of the challenge too, right? Like, how do I film myself with a video part? That's how it started. I was like, I wanted to film a video part with just like filming myself. And like, I wanted to just figure out how to do that. And then like, as I got to certain points, I was like, I want to film lines. How am I going to film lines myself? And this is something, I've talked to quite a few other like YouTubers about this. I know there's a few working on video parts right now. And they're like, how do we do lines? I was like, I couldn't, I never figured it out. I had to bring in a friend, call yeah. Lifeline, like, you know.
Yeah, that's where you draw the line. But I mean, I think I've seen footage of a drone that follows you wherever you go. I don't know if it would look too like, you know, maybe if you can get it to film lower, maybe.
It's the hard part. It looks too cinematic, and it takes away from the tricks and like the maneuvers that you're doing as a skater. That's what matters in the video. You know, you need some good B-roll, but ultimately, right. like you know,
yeah, no, that's. So. I mean, watching your part, you did a really good job with the stationary shots. It's like pretty seamless.
Thanks.
You know, with panning and stuff, but it is, you know, a fine line, like you said, because you almost want that realness and the flowing around with you, the movement, like you could feel that too, you know? So like the lines.
I'm not a good like trick skater at the end of the day. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but like, I'm not like a single trick guy. Does that make sense? So like with the tripod stuff, it's like, it's really hard. A lot of it's like single tricks. You're not doing like two tricks in a row or anything like that. I think for me, like I love skating bowls and pools and things like that. I don't know what to say. I think where I perform the best is like doing multiple tricks in a row. You can't do that with the tripod. So that was like the biggest challenge for sure. And then to your point of like getting people out, I was really lucky. My friend, Matthew Reyes, he's like a San Diego, original here. He helps with like Skate Mafia and like Skate 5.8 and stuff. And he luckily has a pretty similar schedule to me where he can get off at like 2 o'clock. And we just had specific days like Wednesdays and Fridays. Every Wednesday and Friday we'd meet up, and we're meeting up actually later today to skate. And I think as you get older, it's so hard. It's just like everything has to be regimented, right? Like people have families, they have lives, responsibilities, mm-hmm. full-time jobs. So yeah, it was just about making specific days and be like, we're doing it on this day. You know, only thing that would stop us is the weather.
Yeah. How many of those spots, like in your videos, did you concrete yourself? Was it a bunch? Was it a few? Was it like...
It was definitely a lot that I would like fix up. You know what I mean? So it goes back to like the Truman thing. Like there would be spots, especially in San Diego, where like I'd want to skate them, but they need a little love. So it's just like bondo the bottom or like get it grinding better and like give it a little love. But it's a good question. So the newest part, I would say probably like 25% maybe are like spots that are like fixed up or built. Yeah. But
yeah.
I love DIY spots. So when other people build spots and stuff, like I'm so grateful because I'm like, sweet, I get to go skate something that's probably more fun than the thing I made.
That's funny. When I think about skate, like making a new video part, I wish I had your skills. Like I need to just sit down and learn it because I feel like if I could make spots, I could probably film a part pretty fast. But depending on like, you know, over here, there's not much street tranny like at all. So it's like... For me to get clips at what I'm good at, it takes forever, you know?
And think about like when you're watching a video, especially in California, right? I'm a California skater. You're going to know all the spots and the things. So like if you can, you know, find those things, I think it also adds a little bit of a flavor and kind of like personality to the video, you know? Finding them is always hard for sure. Luckily, there's a lot of people that build stuff out here. It's kind of like one of those things where, I'll drive like 2.5 hours though to skate like a ditch with like a little QP on it. You know what I mean? I'm sure you would too. So like, it's like one of those things, you know, some people will drive 2 hours to go skate a flat rail. It's a commitment, might be crusty.
No. Yeah. I'm addicted to street tranny. So if it's like halfway decent, like I'm taking the drive for sure.
I love that name, street tranny. Dan once told me I like forcing transition onto street skaters. Cause like, you know, I like to build spots in the streets that are transition. So it's funny, it's like this hybrid, you know. I don't want to be in the park, but I want to be in the streets, but I don't want to be skating the ledge.
Yeah.
Putting a lot of limitations on myself.
That's another funny thing too, is like with parts, we make up these like imaginary lines where it's like acceptable. Like if it's a DIY, like sometimes you could put it in, sometimes you can't. It's almost like depends on how real it looks.
You know, like what I mean? the Jason Hernandez ledges, or the, sorry, who was it? Steve Bear ledges.
Yeah, exactly. I've
never really had that like perspective, to be honest. And I get why people have that perspective, but I like grew up on watching like pool skating, DIY skating, and like, you know, that kind of stuff. Like I always loved that kind of transition skating. So I never saw it as like this, does it count? Does it not count? I'm like, I don't know. I do get where the skate park footage is. I think it's not as credible. I do understand that 100% because you have all day to film. You're at a perfect obstacle. You're not putting like true, like street, you know, like the cops showing, like whatever it is, like you're missing out on a lot of aspects. So I do get how, there's a line to be drawn there. It depends though. Like if someone's like kick flipping out of the skate park over a fence into a tennis court,
yeah,
maybe, I mean, it could go in the park, but of course you're still going to, you know, yeah, it's not going to get as much credit.
The second half, he landed in the streets. So,
hey, yeah. There we go.
That's funny, man. do you have like, is it difficult for you to like balance the YouTube with your everyday life? Like, do you have a full-time gig or is YouTube your full-time or what's your situation?
Yeah. It's a balancing act for sure. Sometimes I've struggled with it. I mean, I've talked on my channel about like mental health and anxiety and stuff. It's definitely something I've struggled with at times, like trying to actually like do it as a full-time job, I think is, to me, I haven't had the best experience with that. I think it made me like not enjoy skateboarding as much. So right now I do have like, I work for my wife's company actually. So she has a small little brand. I help her. And then I have like two or three freelance jobs. So I do a lot of freelance work. That's my main thing. I consider YouTube as like a part-time job. You know what I mean? At times, there was a time for at least like 6 months where I was just like grinding and it was like the full-time job. I was taking on sponsors and all that stuff, but I wasn't having fun skateboarding anymore. And that was like a hard thing for me to accept because I was like, wait a second, I can like do this. And there, I'm not that good. And like, I can have a YouTube channel, just like do what I love. But then like the thing that I loved was starting not to be special anymore. So I think like, well, you know, that's a balancing act for me.
Yeah. What was making it specifically like not fun? Was it having to do the sponsorships? Was it having to pump it out every day? Like what part of it kind of, you know?
I think looking at it like a job, and you know, people will see that and be like, dude, you have such a good opportunity. And I get that too. Like, yeah, it is a job, but like deliver and you have a cool job. I think for me, it was just like, it's the one special thing I have in this life. Not the one special thing. I there's a lot of special things, but skateboarding is like this one thing that like, I don't want anybody to take from me. And I think like the performance and the analytics and the reality is the metrics to drive your success on YouTube. So, I think I came to a point where I was like, all right, like, do I want these metrics to also drive my skateboarding? Because that's what it looks like. And then, I kind of got to a point where I was just like, no, I don't, like, it's not worth it. It kind of brought me back to that same point when I worked in the skate industry, right? And I had that like resentment almost just like, why this thing's so special. Like, I don't want these people like ruining or taking this from me, you know, like the algorithm or whether it be like, you know, CEOs or whatever. So I think that was just kind of coming to terms that the analytics were playing such a big role in my mental health, which then made me not want to skate at all. So like a combination of all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It 100% takes the, you know, you could do something because you're interested in it. You have a cool idea and you want to put that out, but then you got this side of it where it's like, I need to make money. This is my job. You know what I mean? So it just, maybe that topic disappears then because it doesn't make sense. And you keep going down that road and it's like, where do you draw the line? That's like the hardest part, I think, for a creator is like, you know, is it fun or is it not? It's like, you know.
Yeah. And I think you have to figure out how to make it fun. And because otherwise you're going to get burnt out. At least that's how I see it. I think you have to like have somewhat fun doing the thing that you're doing every single day. Like, and I agree. And I think that even about my work, like I do enjoy it, you know? So yeah, you don't want to get burnt out on it and you want to keep it fun.
Yeah. That's, what I've tried to do, like the all the challenges I do, like on paper, they don't really make much sense, you know what I mean? And like I'm not doing the craziest thumbnails or anything, but I'm excited to do it. You know what I mean?
That's
so it's just
important.
Like so many people are like, you can make a living off of this if you do this or X or Y. And I'm just like, I don't know. Just like
I don't
tells
think
me
they're
to
wrong.
Not do it, you know? Yeah.
I don't think they're wrong, but do you want to do it, right? Like, that's kind of, that's the line. It's like, I do think it's manageable, and I do, like, there's skaters that are doing it, right? Like, Dan Corrigan is a good example. I'm friends with him. We skate and stuff, and I know, I hope he's not mad, but I know not every time he's happy to skate. You know what I mean? I know he's not. And
yeah.
That's just reality. That's with anybody. And I think, like, to your point of, like, people being like, oh, you can't do this, you can, but at what cost? I think that's always the line, and that's the balance you have to kind of try to figure out, because I think also really intelligent people, not to say we're not intelligent, but like people can do it and not have to upload every day. I think people can do it even with skateboarding.
Right.
I haven't figured that out, but somebody will. I mean, there's people out there that have, you know?
Yeah, it comes down to your own personal, like, what are you willing to sacrifice? If you're willing to have it be, you know?
Yeah, what are you willing to sacrifice? And I do think there's skill in it. I don't want to, like, neglect that, too. You know what I mean? There's a lot of, like, you have to be very persistent and be very, like, thick-skinned and be very, like, you know, like, really determined. And I think that's not an easy skill set to have. And I think, like, you have to be very creative, because there's – everyone wants to just skate and have a YouTube channel and, like – do that all day, right? Like, that sounds like the perfect thing, you know, but then when you start diving into it, you have to find that balance. So I mean, I don't want to go too far on the tangent, but
I love it. I sometimes think to myself, like, what does my future look like? Like, am I just gonna be like 65 years old, like at this park vlogging, like holding up my phone,
exactly,
like, you know what I mean? I don't know, like, it's an interesting thing to think about. A lot of creators too, if you think about YouTubers, like, you don't have, like, that traditional, like, security or savings or plan like that. You know what I mean? That digital lifestyle. So it's interesting to see how that'll play out in the future. Some people make, like, tons of money and they're fine, but generally it could be tough, you know?
It seems like right now it's mainly just about having a product, right, that you can sell to people, like having something to sell to people so that you can take that back seat. That seems to be the strategy that I've seen does work for some creators, if they eventually want to, like, kind of leave the platform and do other stuff. So I do get maybe someday I could figure that out, you know, like make some skateboard brand and then I can just sit in the back seat. But to your point about like in 10 years, what do you want? Like, I think that's kind of been the focus lately, especially for this year, is like, you know, what do I want the message to be in, like, multiple years? And, like, where do I want it to end? It sounds sad. Like, where do I want it to end? But eventually it's going to, right? So, like, where do you want to bring it? I guess that's kind of the idea, is like how, and I'm still kind of figuring that out.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't have to end, you know, it could just kind of pivot, you know, different.
Yeah.
You know,
totally,
like, this podcast is a sense a pivot where it's like, all right, my body's not going to hold up forever. So it's nice to have conversations and learn and, like, keep growing, you know, so it's not like,
That's a good example. And you can continue doing what you love, right? You're pivoting, you do the podcast, maybe that could be revenue and, like, doing different things. But yeah, I guess just vlogging every day doesn't seem like too, like, how long can you do it? That's kind of the question that it seems like we're. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like, I want to skate forever. Maybe that's ambitious, but I do. I really, truly do. Like, I want to skate as long as I live. And I think people have proven so far, like, you look at the OGs, right? Like, look at Birdman. Killed it. You know what I mean?
Insane. I was watching him skate and I'm like, in person, he's not even doing anything hard. Like, I mean, for me, it's like impossible, but for him, it's like warm up. And I'm like, I just can't believe he's still doing this stuff, like so easily, you know, or seemingly easily. I don't know how his body's feeling, but it looks like it's moving pretty well.
The body, it's not bad. You know, I find, like, certain tricks, I get really sore. So recently I've been trying to relearn kickflips. This is ridiculous, but I've been trying to relearn kickflips on how to catch them, because I normally do them and then they land and then my feet land. This is like month Speaking of like concepts and long term, this is like month three of working on this video, learning how to kickflip, you know. But to me, that's so fun. Like, even if the video does fail, like, at least I got something out of it. But to your point of how the body feels, man, like, learning how to do kickflips again, or like relearning, my body was so sore for the last 2 days, I couldn't skate. Like, my groin, everything was just done. I take jacuzzis, I do Epsom salt bath, I do cold plunges, I do everything that I can possibly do. I do like stretches, I try to be healthy, you know, I do everything that I can do just so I can keep skating. None of it's cosmetics or aesthetic cares. It's just, I want to keep skating, you know?
So you do that stuff like every day or only when you're sore, or is that like a daily routine?
It's kind of a daily routine. Yeah. I'll do the jacuzzi like whenever I'm sore. Like, I did it last night. I do it probably like three nights, but I try to, like, every day I stretch. I do jump ropes every day. I do like 100 jump ropes. I walk like a pretty long walk every morning. I'm pretty regimented person in general. I have like a routine I like to get through. And I think it's funny because I was talking about that with my wife, and like how it has to play with genetics, you know, because like my family is not the healthiest family in the world. So I don't think it always has to do with genetics. It just has to do with like constantly being taking care of the body. So yeah, I have definitely a routine I do. And I find if I don't do it, skating is so hard. And the other thing is making sure I skate at least three times a week. I think when I was trying to skate one time a week, I constantly playing catch up and I never can like feel good on my board.
Yeah. No, I mean, as I've gotten older, that's something I've realized, like, if I skate once a week or something, and then I go out and skate the next week, my lower back's like killing me, or my muscles get sore like much, much quicker. You know what I mean? But as you stay on it, they're getting used. So, you know, something you don't feel when you're 22, but when you're 36, it's like you really need to stay on top of it.
Yeah. And I think just like doing different tricks. So like if you're always only doing slappy front side 50-50s on a curb, like, you're probably not going to get too sore, right? Like, so it's like, really, it's when you're pushing your body into these different positions. As you age, yes, it's definitely, it's just a longer healing process. I'm very lucky though. You know, I've had some injuries, but nothing to where like I felt like I wouldn't skate again. Like, it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like, I get sore, the body aches, but like the satisfaction and the feeling and what I get out of skateboarding is 1000% worth it, all the pain that it comes with it.
100%, yeah. What was your, you just came back from an injury, right?
Yeah, so I, it was weird. I broke my finger, and it's such a weird injury, but it was like one of the worst. And only because it was like one of those weird things where it was my hand, right? It wasn't my ankle or something where I was like, okay, I'm immobile. Like, I can't skate. It's fair. It was really scary. So the long story short is I was trying this like gap to lip slide, and I jammed my hand into this curb where the curb went into here, this little area. Okay. So this finger like went out. And when I looked at it, I was just like, oh, my finger's broken. And I yanked it straight because I thought I know when people, and I'm not like a gnarly guy or some aggressive dude, like, check me. Like, not me, you know, like I'm scared most of the times of falling. So I like look at it, I pulled it, I yanked it straight because I think that was just my natural reaction. I wanted to get it like not locked up. But then when I did that, I had this huge gash right here, and my whole hand just started bleeding everywhere. And then I realized that my finger was like dangling. So my pinky was like almost like dangling off my hand. At least that's how it felt at the moment. So I just told my buddy, I was like, dude, like, help me get a wrap. Let's get out of here. Let's go to the emergency room. We'll go to the emergency room. You know, it was one of those standard emergency room situations where you're just like, oh my gosh, what's happening here? It's like so much chaos in there. They eventually get me back. The doctor's like, oh, I'm gonna put a shot in there. It's really bad, so I can clean it up and see what's going on. The nurse comes over and just starts putting alcohol over it and like just like cleaning it up. And then the doctor comes over, is like, what are you doing? Stop. Like, I'm supposed to numb it up. And I'm just sitting there screaming. Like, I was screaming, was like, ah, and she's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Just do it, you know, just get it over with. But yeah, long story short, that wasn't necessary, but she did anyway. She messed up.
Yeah. So you thought it was dislocated and it wasn't. You just kind of yanked it.
Yeah, exactly. And then I got two screws and I ended up having to get like two pins in there. And I had a surgery, the whole thing, but I'm good now. I think you know, it's that stuff's bound to happen. And I think when people hear it, it scares them from skating. So I don't want to like scare anybody from skating, but You know, you got to think like I've been skating. Exactly. That's it. Exactly. I've been skating pretty much my whole life. So, you know, it's going to, it could happen driving, walking down the sidewalk.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think the hardest part is coming back. The anxiety, there was a lot of trauma coming back for me at this age. And in the past, that's never been a concern. You get back and you're just like, all right, get back on the horse. But yeah, 36, like getting back on the horse looks different when you have a lot more responsibilities and stuff.
100%. I was going to ask that, like, was it tough to come back? Like, what, like, you just, the fear of falling on it again, obviously, you just play it in your head before you go, or what's it like?
Yeah, the fear of falling on it and just like the fear of falling in general. Like, I just didn't want to go through the process of being out for like months at a time again, or having to go to physical therapy and go to these doctors and be in these like uncomfortable situations. So, and also just the idea that like before it happened, I was so confident on my board. Like before, the second before that slam happened, I was like, I got this. So I think that, like, from that, like, super confident place to, like, breaking, it's traumatizing, right? Because, like, you think you know what you're doing, and then all of a sudden you're like, ah, reality gets checked. So I think just it took a long time to not be thinking about the slam. And I think that was the hardest part. And it's like, in the beginning, and to the YouTube point, I wanted to go out and make content right away. And I think that, like, messed with me, because I was like, oh, I want to go make content and for YouTube and talk about my injury and this and that. And, like, it was scary. Like, it got to the point where I was like, I'm going to go skate. I'd get to the park and be like, like, I'd be shaking, have crazy anxiety. And like, there's times where I definitely just left and didn't skate at all. I think what it took was going out skating alone, no cameras, and just like doing it like for like a couple weeks. And now, just now, probably within the last week, I go out and like, it's not even in my mind at all. So I finally feel confident. It's happened in August 31st. So what's that? Okay. Almost 5 months now?
Yeah, I can see that. You show up to the park and you want to like get back, make YouTube videos, and like what used to be like a basic thing you'd film, a little 5-0 across the top. Now you're like, can't, you're like, you know, and you're like almost want to push it so you can get it, but you can't. So you get frustrated. You can't make the video. So it's like a feedback.
The frustration, you nailed it with that. It's frustrating because you know what you're capable of. You've been sitting there like, I know I can Smith grind this transition. I'm going up there. I'm scared to scratch grind it. I'm just like, is this serious? Like, I spent my whole life doing this, and now, like, you know what I mean? It like sets you back a little bit. So I think there's part of that frustration, but I think that ultimately I had to like remember not to think about that. I think that was part of the thing I intentionally did, was like try not to compare myself to what I was doing before the slam. And that did help me too. It's just to not even think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's, I remember years ago, I had a ACL, PCL surgery. I was still really young, and I'd come back and I was like, you know, fully back, but then I'd go nose grind to box or something and I couldn't do it. I just remember getting like so pissed at this thing I could do every try, you know what I mean? But you just can't compare it to that last version. You know, I have to slowly like just deal with it, really.
It's hard not to. Yeah,
I was tough. I just did the my last injury was tore my, what was it? My lateral and medial meniscus, got surgery, and then basically a year afterwards retore it all.
If you don't mind me asking, how did you initially tear it?
Let me see. I think it was over time, and I didn't even realize it was torn.
Oh,
and so I was like, I think I was out for a run and my leg just like froze up. I was like, something's wrong. Like, I just can't, it felt wrong. Went to the doctor.
It got to that point.
They told me it had been torn. So I just been like dealing with it.
Damn.
Like, so it's kind of like this faint thing, you know, like you have pain, you're a skateboarder, you're like always in pain. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, but that's the hard part, is like, you don't know, like you want to be able to judge, right? You're like, oh, I need to get help, or oh, I don't need to get help. It's hard sometimes when you don't even know that you need the help. It sounds like that was the situation almost. Yeah, how did he get
I was just like doing tricks on the mini ramp. I'm like, yeah, those types of tricks sometimes are annoying, but like, I didn't think more than that, you know?
Standard operation.
Yeah. So he told me, yeah, we'll just, you know, put it back together, sew it together, whatever. And I guess it just didn't hold, retore it. Oh, I mean, I kind of brought it upon myself because I was filming my last video part. And I'm 36 years old and I'm trying to nollie big spin a 10 stair.
Holy shit.
You know, the Nassau, it's like a famous stair set by my house. So I kind of brought it upon myself. Like, what are you doing, dude? Like, stick to the tranny. I just kind of like had that in my head. Like, I just wanted it.
Is that because of your age, though? Did you see... And I don't know how to ask this like the nicest way possible. Did you see the hole getting smaller and you're like, I needed to go do that now? Like, that's how I kind of felt with some tricks. Like, I was like, now's the time to get him. Okay.
Right. Yeah. I felt like, I'm trying to make like this, like the best version of what I am right now. And I just felt like, I wouldn't be able to jump downstairs like this very soon or maybe even 3 years ago.
Or maybe when it's happening.
So, I mean, honestly, my body felt fine. Like, I still feel like I can take it, you know? But I guess just, you know, so I haven't even gotten that fixed because it still works, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's a hard thing with the surgeries because that was the same thing with the hands. Like, you don't always have to do them, right? It's like about how much, like, maybe mobility or how much recovery you want. And then there's also the reality of how long it takes you out. Then there's the reality of how much it costs here. You know, so many factors.
Exactly. Yeah, the doctor's like, you know, they look at that little torn meniscus and I'm still skating. He's like, do you really want to go through with this? Like, same thing could happen again. It's all this money and time. And, you know, like you said, every time you come back from that, it like kind of weighs on you a little bit. It's in the back of your head. Like,
yeah. And you're only 36 years old. You know, you don't want to be doing like too many surgeries right away, right? I think that's part of it too, is you want to, from my understanding, you want to try to have your body build up and like get stronger versus having to depend on something to keep it strong. It's kind of the theory sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've just been, exactly, doing things to strengthen all the muscles around it and do what I can just to kind of, you know, just live with it and cut out the 10 stairs. No more of those.
Yeah. Cut out the 10 stairs. Do you do like chiropractic or anything like that? Yoga?
Not really. I go to a sports massage and she like beats the crap out of me. Like not like a friendly, you're going to relax massage. Like, she's really trying to like fix stuff and it's pretty painful. So they work on my
feet.
Those
are nice.
Yeah. Like my, just all stuff around my knees and feet, basically.
Yeah. I like when they like stand on you. What's that one? When they stand on your back and like dig into it.
Oh yeah.
I love that. What's a hot coals? Yeah. I think it's like a Thai massage. I think that's what it's called. But yeah, I like, cause they have this one in San Diego where there's like ropes on the ceilings and they're like holding on the ropes and like pressing on your back, like stepping on you. It's the best thing ever. So good. Massages are good for skaters.
Yeah, exactly. We need, as skaters, we need people like really digging in there to get something done. Cause we're like so used to the pain.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. The pain tolerance for skaters is ridiculous. With my physical therapist, he was like, he didn't know like when to stop. I was like, no, it's good. It's good. Like with bending and kept going. And I was just like, yeah, you can keep going. He's like, tell me when it hurts. I'm like, I guess it all kind of hurts. Like,
It's funny. You forget sometimes. You go in the real world and you like talk with someone and you're just like, we get so hardened from skateboarding, like physically and mentally, like things that, you know, the average person thinks are like insane. We're just like, yeah, whatever. Like,
all right, cool. I mean, we're 36 and still like suffering on a wood toy. You know what I mean? I think it says a lot. I mean, I think skateboarding is a lot about suffering, honestly. It's a good thing. You know, I think it teaches, I think skaters normally, if someone's skating a long time, they normally seem to have a better head on their shoulder. And I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah. It's a skill like anything else. You know, you're literally learning how to fail. That's the job description is just
that's
failing.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yep. And 1% of the time you land something. So that translates to life most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just being willing to prevail. Right. And like, it's like those special moments that are always worth it. Like you could slam for like 30 minutes straight. And then all of a sudden you like puncture this hole and land a trick. You're like, all right, all the slams for the other 5 sessions I came to land this trick, they're irrelevant at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Were you always like in the transition skating, or was that like, you know, something you adapted later?
Yeah, I was always into transition skating. I'm trying to do it the reverse. Like when I get real old, I want to be the rail skater. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. No, I did start. I started with transition. Unlike most people, I start with like the streets. Luckily for me, so I don't have a very cool like how did you start skating story, because my dad skated, which is dope. But he like was selling going trucks in like parking lots to pay for my diapers. I think that's like such a cool story. He always tells me all the time. And yeah. I was always around like transition skating, I guess. I kind of grew up around that in San Diego. I was very fortunate, but like Ocean Beach Skate Park was one of the first parks that opened when I kind of really took on skating, when I started finding friends and like, I was like, oh, this is more than just like riding a bike. It became special. And I saw like, I think it was like Neil Heading, Sam Hitz, Steve Bailey, like all these really cool transition skaters that like just had such rad style, and they skated with such aggression, like very aggressive style of skateboarding. And I really liked that. At the time I was BMXing a lot, and I really liked jumping and stuff. I was like sponsored for BMX racing, and I don't know, something about transition I was really drawn to versus like the tech flipping and like street skating and stuff. I was just like, I think it's because from the biking, I just liked like the idea of going really fast and just like kind of just like that really aggressive skating. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting to hear that you had so many like influences in the core community or been around like such great skaters. Cause I don't know, like I had none of those around. And I feel like that really helps like seeing people. Oh, it's
It's such a blessing. Like I trip on it at times. Like when I was younger, I like grew up with Neil Blinder skating in the park at Claremont, for example. Like he knew me and my dad. He was like, "What's up, Zach? What's up, Mike?" And like I watched him board slide 30 feet. You know, to me, like that was like sick. Like I wanted to do that. Yeah. So I was really lucky growing up in San Diego and seeing the skating that I got to see. That was like a big, big inspiration. I didn't really like pick up magazines and videos to like later, so when I was like already into skating. My first video was The End, and that I already been skating for a few years, so I almost didn't know too much about street skating. I just saw all these aggressive like transition skaters, like that looks fun.
And how old were you around that time?
I was probably like around this time, I was probably like 12 13 is when it like, when I started identify, I guess, with like skateboarding.
Yeah. And did you do like anything else besides BMX, or was that like you were just all in on BMX and then found skating?
I was your typical California kid for sure. I loved all of it. You know, I loved soccer, surfing, like basically anything that like could make me friends. At the end of the day, that's like what I liked, you know, just being outside, being with friends. I had a cool like cul-de-sac when I was younger. So like we had a little ramp down there. I mean, we had like carpet boards. We used to do a lot of, what do you call them? Like go-karts, but not like go-karts now. Like back in the day, go-karts were like, you get like 2 2x4s and like one small one on each side. And you put some like shopping cart wheels on the bottom, like just whatever, you know, everything basically.
Yeah. You were always DIY.
Yeah, honestly, always DIY, yeah. High school dropout. I went to YouTube Academy, speaking of DIY.
That's funny, man. So what, I saw your post the other day, you were talking about how you were going to pivot on your YouTube channel. I'm sure it's an early idea you were just thinking about. Like, what did you have in mind?
Like the kickflip video, for example. Like, I want to do a video where I'm being, I guess it sounds corny, but just like really vulnerable and being like, hey, I suck at this trick. I want to film for the next 3 months and like show what it looks like throughout that 3 months. Cause to me, that's like a really authentic and like cool. I feel like it'll be a fun thing to put out there. And I guess I want to also hone in more on just like the filming and being like cinematic and not focusing too much on the content, if that makes sense. But like the content matters, but I guess like, kind of finding that hybrid in between the art and the content. So I'm not so focused on just like delivering people what they want to hear or controversy or whatever the algorithm wants, but like finding that sweet spot, you know? So I think the first step is to just take a step back and not upload as much and try to like think about what the message is in each video and work on projects. Like I started with the DIY stuff in the beginning. I kind of took away from that. I just recently started a spot I've been working on recently. So like that's part of it is like work on the DIY skate park maybe for like a month and then upload that video. But like maybe spend 3 weeks editing the video. I don't know. Just like I want to produce stuff that I can go look at at the end of the year and be like, I want to watch every single one of these videos and like beginning to end. So maybe it's a little bit of a selfish thing, but I just want to enjoy it.
I don't think it's selfish. And I think a lot of times like you think you might lose from doing that or get less views, but sometimes that ends up being like people relate to it more and it's better. You know what I mean? Like it's less, but it's actually more. And it's the more, I feel like the more you create something closer to what you believe in and want to watch, the more people actually believe in it too and resonate with it, you know?
That's it. That's it right there. You nailed it. It's like, instead of just doing like, all right, I know this is going to do good. Let's go do this. It's like trying to really think about what I would like to make and then like digging deeper before you make it. Right. It's almost like trying to understand a little bit deeper. I guess like, you know, as you get older too, to your point of like, I don't want to just be sitting there at a skate park. Look at me. Like I'm cool. I'm important. Care about me. I want to provide some value to the people that are, nice enough to click on the video.
Dude, that's funny. That idea with the kickflip, I've had that same idea before. I made a video, but I only filmed it in like a day, like the style we're talking about, you know? Like
we should do one together. Like pick a trick and we could challenge each other for like over a course of a month or two.
I need the kickflip practice, so I'm down. Dude, I was like, I was determined, like the same things you're saying. Like I want to learn to catch it with the back foot kind of bent and like I want to really learn how to kickflip. And be able to like have so much control, I can use it everywhere else. Use
exactly,
it
like
better, use it, you know, and just feel comfortable, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's part of our. It seems like we're both on this train of like just a little more sophisticated skating, where you can be more well-rounded too. Like I've kind of gotten that way in the last couple of years. Is like I want to be able to skate everything, you know. I want to skate the mega ramp, but I also want to skate flip tricks. Like you know what I mean? Be able to do it all. Yeah, the kickflip is so sick too. Like, I feel like the kickflip's like probably one of the hardest tricks. At least it seems like when I see people that have a really good kickflip, I'm like, they're like I respect them a lot. You know what I mean? Because like it's a tray flip, like a nollie backside flip, they're so much easier.
It seems 100%. Like. 100%. Yeah, it's like doing the basics like really good is to me much harder. I don't know what it is. Maybe like. For me, I think it's I get not as excited to do easier tricks, or at least when I was young, I was more excited to do something. You know what I mean? So I'm always trying to do something that hasn't been done, or like a crazy technical mini ramp trick, and I'm not focusing on. It's like how hard is it after skating 20 something years to be like, all right, I'm going to work on kickflips today for an hour.
Exactly. That's why I think what will help with making that content to the point of wanting to create it is like other people will know they're not alone in that too. Cause I think a lot of times like, and I'm sure you felt this way, like before starting YouTube, when I watch videos or trick tips, I'm like, these people already know the trick and they've mastered it. And they're kind of just like spieling out stuff or something. And I'm not saying there's no reality to that, cause there is reality. But like, I think if you can actually go through the process versus like telling somebody how you got to where you are now, it tends to just be a little more authentic, and it tends to just be more exciting because you're watching like, oh, he's sucking. Oh, he's getting better. Oh, he's getting worse again. Oh, he's getting better. Like it's very emotional, and skateboarding is emotional, right? Like it's a pretty emotional thing.
That's the beauty to me. That's the best parts of the internet is you can document all of that. And that's to me, what's really relatable. It's like, a guy who's never skateboarded before is watching you go through all this stuff, talk about it. Like it makes it more real. If you just see someone do a 3-flip 5-0, you're just like, that's impossible. You know what I mean? But, or a kick, even a kickflip, so you think it's impossible. But if you're watching them climb through it and struggle, document it, you're just like, oh, I could do that too. You know, and that's to me, like, that's how I think about YouTube is like showing all of that. You're taking away the curtain, basically, you know?
And I think sometimes like people will be like, oh, this guy can do an invert, or he could Smith grind the 13-foot pull, but he can't kickflip. And I want to show that. Like I do. Exactly. I want to show that. I think like, cause like, I think that's,
right.
Yeah, yeah. And I think like people, I'm sure they get a laugh out of it too. Like I would, like if someone can like, I don't know, like tray flip down a 10 stair, but couldn't like pivot fakie a 5 foot transition, I would laugh too. Right. But like, and it goes to show, like, to me, it's like more human. And I think it's like, to your point of like relatability, like the tray flip 5-0, it's like, yeah, like I can't even, like sometimes when I watch video parts, I'm like, I can't, like this video part's so good, but I can't relate to the skating. So it does, it's not as impactful. It's kind of that same kind of theory, you know?
Right. There's, yeah, like there's two sides to the coin, and I think there always will be. Like, it's cool to be able to relate and watch YouTube videos and like, you know, have that side of it. And then the really like elite side kind of gives you a, something to aspire to, or like keep you in check and kind of like always be progressing the sport, you know? So like you almost need both of them.
I do agree. Yeah, you do need both. I've noticed like I have a hard time sometimes making videos about tricks that I know how to do. I don't know if you ever felt that way, but like sometimes people will be like, make a video on how to do backside Smiths. And I'm like, I don't even know how to make a video on how to do backside Smiths because it's so ingrained in my head that like, I feel like I wouldn't be able to get, I wouldn't be a good teacher of that trick. I don't know if you ever feel that way.
Honestly, I've felt like the opposite my whole life. My dad was a yoga teacher. So I think I just had the teaching kind of mindset just like in the background, but I feel like that's one of the only things I'm good at is being able to like walk through step by step and be like, all right, I step on my back toe and I point my front toe down.
You like, are I really loved, good at that.
I love getting into those details. And I feel like that's like, you know, one of the few things I'm good at. So, yeah.
Yeah, that I agree. And I remember like watching your videos before I started YouTube and I was like, dang, he's really breaking this down. Like, I don't think of some of the things that you're saying, like when you're talking about those tricks, like some of them I might know how to do, but like, I never would have thought that's what I was doing until you said that's what I was doing. You know what I mean? So yeah. To your point, yeah, like you're clearly a good teacher. I feel the same way about like coaching. Like people sometimes want coaching. And I feel we probably are similar with this. Like I could never coach somebody. You probably seemed like you'd be a really good coach. Like I would hire you if I was trying to be like an Olympic skater, you know? Sorry, Neil Mims. I'm just kidding. But you know what I mean? Like I don't know how to coach people, but it is something that YouTube has allowed me to get better at. Paying more attention to my skating and realizing like when I'm doing a trick or I'm learning a trick, I'm like, oh, like I'm more in tune with it and less just going through the motions so that I can describe it and have a better idea of it. But yeah, that was like a learning curve. I think starting YouTube has made me be more detailed with my skating. But before that, I mean, it's hard for me to like really think about what I'm doing for a trick. I have to really focus.
But what about like when you're doing your DIY tutorials? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that is something where you excel at. It's probably because I guess because you're excited, like it's this new thing and you're kind of exploring it yourself, you know?
It goes back to the point, and I'm like also failing with people watching at the same time. So a lot of times that's a funny part, like to the point of the thumbnails too, right? I'll be like, how to build a DIY quarter pipe. And you see me like failing half the video, not knowing how to do the DIY quarter pipe.
Yeah.
But by the end of it, hopefully I've succeeded, right? You know, so I think to your point about like teaching DIY stuff, I think it's because I'm still going through the process while making the video. So something about that, I think to the point of your other question about like honing in on more videos that are longer formed or I think it's just honing in on that process and like trying to really figure it out in like messing up, like being human in that process versus just being like, all right, I've mastered this. Here's how you do it.
Yeah. And to me, when I'm making YouTube videos, those are the videos that I'm most excited to make. Like the Skate Across America daily vlog was that. I'm literally I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no plan for the video. You know what I mean? It's just like, come figure this out with me, guys. Hopefully I don't die today. You know what I mean?
And as a viewer that watched every single episode every day, I was like, all right, let's sit down. You got the same, you got the same experience watching it. Honestly, like, really? Cause like you were doing it. And to your point, it was just in the moment. And as you're watching, you're like, what's going to happen in the next 2 minutes? You don't know. And I think it came across the same way of like, I felt like I was almost there with you. Like, I don't know what was going to happen. And that's what like every day kept making every video like more exciting. That was probably one of my favorite skate. No, it is my favorite skate like a series on YouTube for sure. It's insane. Damn. I can't believe
Thank you, man. Yeah, honestly, I can't either. Mad respect. I can't believe how smooth it went. Like, it doesn't even make sense. I'm just thankful I made it across and like, yeah, it went smooth. But
do you have like a blackout from that? Like, I'm curious if you just like churned things off and just went into like a whole nother state of mind
while I was doing it.
Yeah. Like, did you have the noise, you know, because like there's so much things going on in the world. So I'm curious on how you just kind of narrowed down and just like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah. I think I'm already pretty good at that. Whether I'm trying or not, it's just kind of happens. But for the skate, once you're so locked in on something and you're like, it's not that extreme, but your life's kind of on the line and you're like daily vlog. Like there's so much responsibility and focus that everything else just disappears. And it almost like I would see these comments come in and I almost felt like lifted above, like all the yapping kind of, I was just like, what are you guys even talking about half the time? You know what I mean? It kind of helped me see it from a different perspective of like what's important and what I'm doing, you know, as a, like separating commentary from real life.
Yeah.
I think that came from being so in the zone, just like out there. And also I'm not around people, I'm not really using social media. So
I think you probably have a healthier perspective. You're not as warped into maybe being, you know, your perspective is probably less likely to shift, it seems like, in those situations. I'd imagine that's like a pretty cool place to be in, you know what I mean? In this place where you're just like so, it sounds like really holistic. You're just like really in tune with yourself.
Yeah. And I don't think it's like has to come from something as insane as that. Like the 3-month kickflip thing, I feel like you're going to get the same feelings from doing, you know what I mean? Like just something you're fully absorbed in and want to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder, like, do you think filming and vlogging the whole time helped you? Like, 100%. Like if we're like, if you did it without vlogging, you know, cause I'm wondering, cause like when I make videos and especially when I'm alone and make videos, it's almost like therapeutic. I kind of feel like sometimes like the people that are willing to watch are there with me. So I'm wondering if like you felt like you had like people skating behind you.
Maybe not behind me, but I think I know what you mean. Like I felt the support of everyone, which I wouldn't have quit no matter what. But it's nice when it's like, you know, you have that behind you. It gives you that little bit of extra motivation. Like, got to get the video up tonight. Got to make it 50 miles. Like, you know, if I wasn't vlogging, maybe I wouldn't have hit the 50. Maybe I would have done 46. And then maybe the trip would have took, you know, 3 months or something. You know what I mean? So like those limitations kind of helped me. I feel like it made me like be my best self almost, you know?
It's crazy how that works, because sometimes you think like the iPhone and cameras and filming like take you away from the moment, but it seems like in this situation it almost put you like more in the moment, you know what I mean? Because like without you capturing the moment and like focused on capturing the moment, you might have, your mind may drift more or whatever. I don't want to speak for you, but it's pretty cool. It seems I feel that way sometimes when I make videos. I mean, I didn't skate across the country, but I feel that way sometimes, you know, you're just like in this whole other space where you're not thinking so much about other things going on or what you're doing. You're just in the moment and kind of like really experiencing it, which is something hard to do, I think, in the modern age.
Hard to do. And I feel like it's the ultimate skill. Like if you could master that, I feel like anyone's life will shift towards the better, because you're really focusing on like producing something you enjoy. You're not thinking about the future, the past, people's opinions. You're just like locked in on something, and that usually takes, you know, an interesting, challenging idea, you know, to get you there.
It's like, it seems like it's almost like a deeper thing than meditation. I mean, it sits next to meditation, I feel like.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Very similar. Yeah. But dude, I'm psyched. Talk to you, man. I'm psyched you came on, man.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, I'm honored. I need to get out there and skate with you.
100%. Yeah. I'll come out there because it's a little warmer there. So,
yeah, right now. Come skate the backyard ramp.
Dude, 100%. Hell yeah. Well, thanks for coming on, man. Good talking to you.
Yeah. All right, man. All right. Appreciate you. Have a good day.